Welcome to Boat Talk on KPTZ 91.9 FM, Port Townsend's eclectic, authentic community radio station. And coming up shortly, in just a few weeks, is going to be the 39th annual Wooden Boat Festival. It's one of those events that's a seminal event for this town that really defines this town in so many ways. And here with me today is the person who makes it all possible, Barb Traylor. Welcome.
Thank you.
You look relatively calm and collected at this point, are you?
I wouldn't say calm or collected, but I'm here.
Well, thank you for taking time to come by the studio and talk to us and give us a preview of the festival. There's several really interesting things on the agenda for this year. And, of course, everybody knows about the Western Flyer, and the Western Flyer is going to take a front row seat here at the festival. Tell us about that.
Well, we're very excited to be working with the owners and the Shipwrights Co-op to highlight the festival, and they are going to put together a exhibition for us in the Pope and Cotton Building that will be, if you've got a pass to get into the festival, you can go to see, you know, a little bit more in detail about the work they're doing, and you can also go down and tour the outside of the boat, which will be very exciting. They're going to open up the ship or the building that it's being worked on and allow people to walk the catwalk, and there'll be descriptions and people to talk to.
You know, the whole story of the Western Flyer is really interesting because it's so intricately linked to the richness of the Pacific fisheries and their collapse. It's not just a maritime story about a boat and a famous author. It's really also a history of overfishing the sardine fisheries out of Monterey. And then that boat went up to Alaska, and then, you know, once again it overfished fisheries up here. And it's just, you know, emblematic, really, of part of the problem we've had in terms of managing fisheries. But it is also an amazing boat to look at, to realize it, all of its history. I remember going down to see it when it was in the yard, and they were trying to decide whether it was going to be shipped down to Monterey or to Salinas, or whether it was going to be cut up for scrap wood. And it was covered with barnacles from head to toe, and it was hard to imagine that boat being restored.
It's amazing that somebody, that the Greggs, would take that on, and they are amazing. They just threw a ton of money at it, a ridiculous amount of money to save it, and really save this piece of history, which is amazing.
Yeah, you know, everybody knows that it takes a ton of money to restore any kind of wooden boat, but this is really beyond the call of duty.
Yeah, it's a testimony to them and their dedication to the history.
Well, that'll be really exciting to go to the presentations and to actually see the boat.
Yeah, I think this will be an ongoing, as it develops, we'll learn way more about it. We weren't able to get Kevin Bailey here this year, but hopefully next year.
And then we're going to have a pop-up maritime museum at the festival.
This started when we had the anchor that was potentially Chatham's, and there was so much interest in that it got this idea stirring. And one of our board members is passionate about history and owns several gorgeous ships models. And so this is an attempt to gather more artifacts like that people are very curious about.
You know, one of the more interesting thing about maritime museums is to go into the back room and to look at their collection. I've seen the warehouse of two museums, the South Street Seaport Museum in Manhattan and the Hyde Street Pier, the San Francisco Maritime Museum in San Francisco. And both of those museums have a huge collection of artifacts that they just don't have room to display. And it's fascinating because those artifacts tell you so much about maritime history. And that anchor, where is the anchor today?
You know, I think it's still wherever they took it to do the diagnostics to see if it really truly was that Chatham's anchor.
So that investigation is still underway.
It's ongoing. I think it was going to take a year or two.
Well, then Hurricane Sandy roared up the East Coast and, among other things, sunk the Bounty, the replica of the Bounty. And we're going to talk about the Bounty.
Yeah, that was an amazing story. And we have the author, Michael Tugius, who wrote the book Rescue on the Bounty, and did a lot of research. He will be coming and doing a very dramatic presentation that we're all very excited about. It really came down to why were they out there? Why was the Bounty still at? Why had they chosen to go to sea? And it's very interesting that our boss, Jake Beatty, was a crew member on the Bounty. And we'll have a special article in the program that depicts all that, goes into detail about Jake working on the boat and having the same circumstance happen where they made the call to go out into a storm. And they didn't sink that time when Jake was on board, but he said it was very similar.
You know, these are interesting decisions because when you're doing transatlantic or trans-Pacific crossings, invariably, you're going to encounter severe storms. And, you know, now there's enough navigation aids that you can predict those, you can map those, you can see where they are and change course, but sometimes you can't. And also you have to make these decisions. Do you ride it out? Do you try to skirt by it? Hurricanes are, when you look at their satellite photos, they tend to have a fairly clearly defined area. And so it's very tempting to say, well, I'll go around that.
Right, right. And you, most people or a lot of captains believe that being at sea is the best place for a boat. And I think that was their one of their decisions is they chose to go out and thought they could skirt around it. So we're all really excited to hear that in-depth presentation and find out what happened.
Well, we'll find out what the lessons of the Bounty have in store for those of us who want to cross the ocean blue.
Yeah.
The finest hours, talking about sinkings. I mean, here's a theme, I think, for this boat festival. It's ominous, isn't it?
Yeah, and we didn't plan it that way, but it certainly turned out that way. Yes, Michael Tugius will be doing a presentation on the finest hours, which is going to be released as a movie next year by Disney. And the trailer is out. You can find it on if you Google it. It's pretty dramatic, and it's he says this is the most famous rescue operation of all time. So that should be also extremely exciting.
And what is this has to do with an East Coast Coast Guard rescue off of Cape Cod, I think.
Right, and the story is about the how difficult it is to rescue people and the dramatic way the Coast Guard puts their lives in danger in order to rescue boats that are having in trouble.
There's a museum in Astoria that has an entire room dedicated to the maybe more than one room. There's at least one room dedicated to the pilots who cross the Columbia Bar routinely as part of their work. And I believe there's another exhibit dedicated to Coast Guard rescues off the Columbia Bar, which is one of the more treacherous entrances to any navigable body of water on the West Coast. And watching those rescues at sea, you know, the boats, each boat is kind of rocking in a different direction. The waves are, they look like they're 20-foot waves. They're crashing over everything. And these guys are in a helicopter, you know, trying to pick people off a boat and you know, the helicopter's in a strong wind and it's moving. It's an amazing thing to watch.
It is amazing. I've read just a little bit out of both of those books, and it's astounding how they put themselves out there and the risks they have to take, and what an adrenaline rush.
So that'll be the presentation on the finest hours and the fine work that the Coast Guard does and keeping us protected.
Yeah, saving us when things go wrong.
And then, continuing the theme of disaster, the Franklin ship. Tell us about the Franklin ship. There'll be a presentation on that.
The ship Erebus, I just learned about this, and I'm just totally fascinated by it again. The Erebus left 150 years ago, 160 years ago, and it was supposedly the most well-equipped boat to go to sea, and their mission was to find the Northwest Passage. And they got iced in and have been lost for 150 years, and they just found the ship underwater up in the Arctic last September, which was an enormous, incredible find. And the captain of that boat, Bill Noon, will be down and give a presentation on the finding. And the equipment they have now, obviously, is much more technical, is the only way they found it. But the backstory on that is just very incredible.
And it's a book you just read, Frozen in Time?
Well, I just started it. Yeah, I don't have a lot of time to read right now, but it's really interesting. It goes through cannibalism. Did they go there? Didn't they? And a couple years ago, they found three of the crew members' bodies perfectly preserved in the ice. And so that was the key to helping find the boat. It's a very interesting story.
This is kind of Shackleton North, huh?
Absolutely.
These guys, if they were to come back today, they would probably be quite surprised that this mission that they were on to find the Northwest Passage through the Arctic is now relatively easy.
Yeah, it is amazing what they went through, getting iced in for 3 years, and it's quite impressive.
So a homegrown boat, well, we like to think of it as a homegrown boat, is the 108-year-old schooner Martha. And she's going to be back for the festival.
Right. She's just been on a year racing circuit, which is pretty amazing for a 108-year-old boat. And they were just completed the Transpac as the oldest vessel ever to complete that. So it's quite a testimony to Robert Darcy and their organization.
They'll be coming back from Hawaii, and I'm kind of kicking myself because, you know, time does go by a lot faster as you age. And I remember thinking, gee, I'd like to be on that leg of their journey back from Hawaii to Port Townsend, but I'll have plenty of time to plan that trip.
Yeah.
And here they are coming back home to their home port, Port Townsend. And there's lots and lots of other stuff going on at the festival. There's all sorts of skills that are taught and technical information that's conveyed. And there's the art of seamanship is Ralph Naranjo's experience. And he'll be talking about exploring oceans and handling wind, waves, and weather. Anything on that?
He's one of the most advanced and respected sailors, practical sailor editor and Sail Magazine. Just he's been around and done everything from owning shipyards. And this is his latest book. So we're very excited. Ralph's coming. He's one of probably about 30 experts that we have speaking throughout the weekend. We try to have a blend. We have five stages going all day, every day. And we try to have a blend. Three of them are nonstop technical talks about how to steam bend, you know, traditional wood building. And then we have adventure and, of course, the, travel journeys and things like that, how to build a scamp. All of those kind of presentations go on all weekend.
Yeah, I noticed Jim Tulpin from the Port Townsend Woodworking School will be there talking about design by hand and eye, something that he's been interested in for several years now. Starting as many woodworkers do, Jim used power tools and decided that for safety and health reasons and really for personal satisfaction, that using hand tools and going back to more traditional, what he calls design by eye methods, where you don't measure to the 16th of the inch or the 32nd of the inch, but you look at proportions of bodies and how you design furniture related to a human figure, and likewise. So that's kind of a whole fascinating approach to woodworking. Matthew Strong Morris, who I went to school with at the Northwest Wooden Boat Building School, is talking about mortise and tenons. And I can tell you that if anyone can do a mortise and tenon, it's Matthew. I had the work table next to him, and I kind of tried to hide my work so nobody would see it, and his work just kind of shone. So if you want to find out how to do traditional woodworking, Matthew and Jim are tops. And then there's so many other teachers from the school there. Jeff Hammond talking about block making, Bruce Batchley working with epoxy and fiberglass, because there are non-traditional methods of building really fine, traditional-looking boats, and those those instructors from the Wooden Boat School are among the highest and most skilled in the country. I have not been above making a fool of myself. And recently I was talking to somebody who, unbeknownst to me, was a paddleboarder. And I had said, you know, I really don't understand why anybody would want to get on a paddleboard and do this. You know, I understand a kayak, it's really cool. You're on the water, low center of gravity. You can pack it up with stuff and travel with it, you know, and camp out. I understand sailboats, they're lots of fun. Motorboats are cool. But paddleboard? I mean, you want to stand up on a board and just paddle around? I don't know. I don't get it.
And you know what's really funny is I think everybody says that until they try it. I certainly said it.
And I'm going to try it. So tell us about the paddleboard pool.
Well, that came out of something that I was exactly like you. I looked at that and thought, why would you ever do that, until I got on one and absolutely fell in love with it. I feel like Tom Sawyer. It's just so much fun, and it's so elementary and so relaxing. So I went to the Seattle Boat Show last year, and they had a little paddleboard pool built inside the Seattle Boat Show. And they were trying to do demonstrations. And one of the things we're always trying to do with Wooden Boat Festival is turn younger people on to all the various mm-hmm. ways of getting out on the water. That's our mission of the Maritime Center. And so I got this wild hair that if we had a paddleboard pool where it was very easy for people to go try it, it would help expose people to, you know, recognizing that it is really fun.
And I think some of the vendors who've traditionally come to the festival, Chesapeake Lightcraft and others, actually have kits now, paddleboard kits, or I know they have surfboard kits.
Yeah, they have paddleboard kits also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then you can try it out in the pool, and then you can go check out the kits at the vendors in the
marketplace. That's right, yeah.
And
if you like it in the pool, a lot of the vendors will let you take one of their boards out. They will also let you try kayaks.
Well, I'm talking to Barb Traylor about the upcoming 39th annual Wooden Boat Festival, one of the seminal events here in Port Townsend that defines what makes Port Townsend Port Townsend. And this is your host, Peter Guerrero, on Boat Talk on KPTZ 91.9 FM, Port Townsend, Washington. Before we close up, there's two events that are, I guess, also not to be missed among the many events that are not to be missed at the festival. There's the R2AK, or Race to Alaska, party.
Blazer party, yeah. Jake never ceases to fail to come up with fun ideas. So he's got a green blazer party, and that's where they will announce what's happening for next year, if anything. And also, it'll be a chance for people to rub elbows with the racers. We also are going to have the two wooden boats that completed the Race to Alaska, the two racers. They will be in the festival, and there'll be a Race to Alaska booth, possibly a liar's lounge of sorts, where people can come and chat and hear more about it. But yeah, that party there is a fee for that. It's $25 a person, but well worth it.
I love the concept of a blazer party. In mock formality, we'll have a rack of thrift store emblazoned R2AK emblazoned jackets for the racers to wear.
I think he's hoping they're going to be bright green as well.
And then finally, the station has been broadcasting live on the Saturday of the festival from noon to 2 every year, and we're planning to be there again this year on Saturday from noon to 2. And we always have the Fisher Poets on to read their works. Tell us a little bit about the Fisher Poets and what they're up to these days.
Well, that was a request that came to us to provide them a venue. And in all honesty, I haven't ever been – I never stop long enough at festival to be able to go enjoy any of those presentations. But the Fisher Poets is open. They're trying to bring people up from Astoria. It's a famous group of people that talk about the fishing industry in their lives. And they're very passionate and very proud of what they do. And they just love to get together and have a few beers and tell their stories.
Yeah, when the fishing boats are in port, it was like the winter social activity in Astoria. And, you know, you would think that we could get something going here in the winter hours. We'll have to talk to Bill McWinney, who does the poetry series at North Winds Gallery, and see if we can get our own homegrown Fisher Poets reading through the winter.
We have quite a few locals that do it. Wayne Chimente,
sure.
And
yeah.
Peter Gillis. And mm-hmm.
But they're wonderful stories of the sea and people's experience, and they're just a delight. And I'm always happy to listen to their poems and essays and stories and life stories from the Fisher Poets in port for the winter. So that, I guess, kind of wraps up our preview of the 39th Annual Wooden Boat Festival. Any closing remarks, any advice? Get your tickets early?
Get your tickets early. Come volunteer. That's always a blast.
How do people volunteer?
If they go to woodenboat.org or the Wooden Boat Festival website, there is a a link to join here, and we're always looking for help, and it's a really fun way to explore, experience the festival. This year we're doing some fun things that are improvements. We're doing a pints drive to try to take half of the recycling, half of the plastic out of the Bar Harbor, and we're going to be washing glasses. So we're doing a pints drive. If people want to help, they can drop off pint jar, mason jars at the WSU Extension and help us conserve.
Cool. Particularly of concern with the plastics in the sea and all that.
Absolutely.
The problem that poses, the very serious problem that poses. Well, Barb, thank you so much. You can now go back to your frantic last-minute preparations, and I'm sure everything will go well. You know, I mean, you've been through in the past power outages, I think thunderstorms, rain.
We haven't had a real bad rainy whole weekend. Yeah. We've had a rainy day, so we're, knock on wood, we're hoping not for that.
Well, you know, actually this year we might all be really celebrating if we did have a rainy day during festival weekend, but true to form, it is usually a wonderful weekend, a beautiful fall weekend, and I'm sure it'll be that this year.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Thank you again.
Thank you, Peter.
Bye-bye. And this is Boat Talk on KPTZ, your host Peter Guerrero and Barb Traylor from the Northwest Maritime Center talking about the upcoming 39th Wooden Boat Festival here in Port Townsend, the weekend after Labor Day. And thanks for listening. And again, this is KPTZ, Eclectic Authentic Community Radio in Port Townsend, Washington, 91.9 FM.